Hey everybody, I'm standing next to Western Avenue, which is kind of the biggest main thoroughfare next to my home. And you could take Western Avenue all the way to the south side. You could take it all the way north to the edge of Evanston. Now I want you to imagine with me that Jesus is coming to visit us, and he's taking Western Avenue and he's taking it to the Evanston Vineyard. What would you imagine that he would do? You know, if it were me, I would want him to wave his hand and wipe out the coronavirus. You know, that because, I mean, wouldn't that be great? Because that's the predicament we find ourselves in. And when we're in predicaments like that, especially when we're in grave predicaments like that, we can't do much else than think about solving them.
All right, I'm inside because it's a little windy outside. So anyway, here's the thing about predicaments, or here's this thing about situations that we find ourselves in when they become really grave. All I can really think about is our solutions to them. But sometimes those solutions are short-term. They're not actually what we most desperately need. We need something that will last, that's far better, that will be eternal. Now, I've asked you to use your imaginations today already. I'm going to ask one more time. Imagine that you are a first century Jew, living sometime around 30 AD, and you've been living under Roman rule and Roman oppression for all your life, and you're wondering, when will my Messiah, when will my deliverer come? When will rescue and help come from the God of our people? And today was that day that rescue was coming, and his name was Jesus, and he was entering into your holy city, the city of Jerusalem. So you ran out to go meet him. And Jew that you are, you were pretty sure that what was going to happen was Jesus was going to come as the conquering, bloodstained warrior who would defeat the Roman Empire and restore back to your city and your people and your land. That's what you were pretty sure about, but you didn't actually get that. You got something far better. So in our text today, we're going to look at John chapter 12. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 12. We'll look at John chapter 12 together. We'll read it together. This is in the NIV, and I'm just going to read it, and we'll talk about it a little bit and talk about what it might mean for us today. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches. They took palm branches and they laid them out on the road as Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. And that's why, you may have heard this before if you've been in church for a while, but that's why in the church calendar we call today Palm Sunday. And as they went to meet him, they shouted one of their most beloved songs, Psalm 118. Hosanna. In other words, Lord, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. They were shouting and they were praising. They were praising their king because their king was coming to bring what they imagined would be rescue and salvation and deliverance. But John inserts this verse from this little minor prophet named Zechariah. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. I mean, they didn't understand it. Because if you were a Jew and you saw what happened next, you saw Jesus, the Son of God, on his way into Jerusalem, then on his way basically to be executed, probably didn't make very much sense to you. And this is why John actually inserts Zechariah 9:9, partly to show that there was the fulfillment of scripture actually happening, but also to give us a clue that maybe something different than King David, whom they were hoping maybe would come, bloodstained warrior, bringing in his train, conquests, spoils of war, maybe even prisoners, you know, bringing essentially death in his wake. Zechariah 9:9 says this, rejoice with all your heart, people of Zion. Shout in triumph, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious. He is humble and rides on a donkey, on a colt, a young pack animal. Humble. lowly, as the NIV puts it, is not really the portrait of a bloodstained warrior like King David. It's the portrait of the humble Son of God, and it's the portrait of the humble Son of God on his way to execution. Jesus is going to Jerusalem to be crucified. He's not going to Jerusalem for war. He's actually going to Jerusalem to have death done to him so that we might experience life. In fact, if you look at the next verse here, at first his disciples did not understand all this, or the next section, only after Jesus was glorified, only after Jesus was raised to life, did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Not death coming to the Roman Empire, death actually coming to Jesus so that he could give us life. The disciples didn't understand it because they had their hopes pinned on something different. But if they had been paying attention to what Jesus had said all throughout his ministry, I have come to bring life and life to the full, they would understand that Jesus, our triumphant king entering into Jerusalem, was not bringing death in his wake, but he was bringing life. And if you read the next verse, it says, now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign of the kingdom, the sign of the way that things were going to be with Jesus, the sign that there was life coming. I mean, the reason why John mentions Lazarus is because John wants to tell his readers and listeners that the king coming into Jerusalem was not coming in for conquest, but he was coming bringing resurrection. That's why he talks about Lazarus. Lazarus is one of the clearest and surest signs that the king who comes into Jerusalem, into the holy city, was coming to bring resurrection, life. And then the Pharisees say, because they're really alarmed, they say, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Well, of course, the whole world longs for life. The whole world longs for resurrection power, doesn't it? And that's what Jesus brings. He brings us life and life to the full. Now, the Jews, their grave predicament wasn't the coronavirus. Their grave predicament was Roman oppression. But what did Jesus come to do? He came to bring life and life to the full, eternal life, life forever. So this Palm Sunday, as we sit here shuttered in our homes, would you let the triumphant king into your heart? I mean, if you can imagine that your heart is the center of Chicago and that Jesus was coming down Western Avenue, would you let him in? Would you let him in? And as you let him in, he will bring you and give you his resurrection life. The same power that raised Lazarus from the dead will be available to each one of us. Whatever it is in your life that needs life, whether that's a hope, whether that's a prayer, whether that's a dream, when you let the triumphant king come in, this is what he brings. He brings life. I remember I was stuck in a job that was robbing me of life, and I needed Jesus to rescue me, and that's what he did. He rescued me. He took me from that job, and he set me into a different spot that brought me so much life, which is not to say that things won't die in us. In fact, one of the reasons why, or one of the features of life with Jesus is that stuff dies. Jesus comes and bids us to die. Jesus comes and asks us to go to a cross. And what that means is that means that some things in us need to die. Our selfish desires need to die. Our old selves that might be riddled with addiction and with sin need to die. But the good news is when we let the triumphant king come in, he also leverages to our souls everything that has died. He raises it to life and he reshapes it and he makes it into his image. Everything that Jesus has asked me to put to death, he has raised to life and raised it to life in such a way that I'm so, so, so much better for it. The triumphant king also brings life to our world. He brings life in his wake also to creation. At the end of time, this world is not going to be destroyed. It's going to be renewed. And part of the promise of the triumphal entry is that this world will be renewed too, that the resurrection life that comes to us as a result of Jesus's death and his resurrection will also come to the world. And that means that everything beautiful that we see that only lasts fleetingly, only lasts for a moment, will last and endure forever. That winter will be over because of the Lord of life. So this Palm Sunday, could you take a moment, even in the midst of our novel coronavirus crisis right now, even in the midst of it, would you just think about all the things that you want resurrection life to come to in all of your spaces, in all of your friendships, in all of your relationships, all of your friends, anything eternal. You want the triumphant king to come. It says in Psalm 24, verse 7, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." As we open our hearts and we let the King of glory come in, as we open the gates of our hearts and let the King of glory come in, can you think of all of the things that you need resurrection power on this morning? You need the Lord, the triumphant Lord of life, to bring his life to. Could you think about all those things just for a moment? What kind of life do you need? Let's pray. Lord of life, we welcome you. Come in to our hearts. We receive the life that you can give us. And we ask that you would raise to life, whether it's a hope or a dream or it's something in our relationships, whatever it is, we ask that you pour out your resurrection life as we let you in. We open our hearts to you. Come in, King of glory. By the power of your Spirit, come in. Amen. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. We're so glad that you're here, and we really, really look forward to celebrating Easter with you. Next week, we'll be right here at the same time. We're going to have some fun together. Just welcome you to come back and invite your friends. But as for now, go out and be the church in whatever way that looks like.